Blog Talk Radio.
Land. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome. And thank you for tuning in. This is the Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen. And again, we welcome you for tuning in. And next, we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, everyone. And once again, it is truly an honor to be back before you again today. As you can see, I tried my hand on the mixing board. My co-producer wasn't here to set me straight, but I figured I'd give it a little shot. But tonight, I want to talk because I've been asked, why can't we ever seem to attract enough money in our lives? Am I destined to be forever scrimping and scraping? What is blocking me from realizing my full potential regarding money? Now, I got to tell you, the condition is manifested not just by you, but by a great many people. You know, and, you know, like there are a lot of teachers and stuff that want to teach you and tell you that the problem is self-worth, a lack of self-worth. You know, I've had numerous teachers tell me that lack of anything is always traceable to the lack of self-worth. Now, that is a convenient simplification. And in that case, most teachers are wrong. You do not suffer from a lack of self-worth. Indeed, your greatest challenge all your life has been to control your ego. Some have said it's been a case of too much self-worth. But I'm here to tell you, self-worth is not the problem. we are blessed with an abundance of it. Most people are. You think very highly of yourselves. So rightly you should. So self-worth for the great masses of the people is not the problem. The problem is lack of understanding of the principles of abundance together, usually with a massive judgment about what is good and what is evil. Now, let me give you an example. You carry a thought around that money is bad. You also carry a thought around that God is good. Bless you. Therefore, in your thought system, God and money do not mix. This makes things interesting because this then makes it difficult for you to take money for any good thing. I mean, if a thing is judged very good by you, you value it less in terms of money. So the better something is, the less money it's worth. But you're not alone in this. The whole society believes this. So your teachers make a pittance, makes ridiculous, and your strip teasers make fortunes. Your leaders make so little compared to sports figures that they feel they have to steal to make up the difference. Your priests and your rabbis live on bread and water while you throw coins at entertainers. Think about it. Everything on which you place a high value, you insist must come cheaply. The lonely research scientist seeking a cure for AIDS goes begging for money, while the woman who writes a book on 100 new ways to have sex and create tapes and weekend seminars to go with it makes a fortune. This have it all backwards is a propensity with us, and it stems from wrong thought. The wrong thought is your idea about money. You love it, and yet you say it is the root of all evil. You adore it, and yet you call it filthy lucre. You say that a person is filthy rich. And if a person does become wealthy doing good things, you immediately become suspect. You make that wrong. So a doctor had better not make too much money or had better learn to be discreet about it. And a minister, she really better not make lots of money, assuming you'll even let she be a minister, or there'll surely be trouble. You see, in your mind, a person who chooses the highest calling should get the lowest pay. You should think about that, because it is such wrong thought. Now, I know I said there is no such thing as wrong or right. There isn't. There is only what serves you. What does not, the term right and wrong are relative terms. And I use them that way when I use them at all. In this case, relative to what serves you, relative to what you say you want, your money thoughts are wrong thoughts. Remember, thoughts are creative. So if you think money is bad, yet think yourself good, well, you can see the conflict. Now, me in particular, act out this race consciousness in a very big way. For most people, the conflict is not nearly so enormous as it is for me. Most people do what they hate for a living, so they don't mind taking money for it. Bad for the bad, so to speak. But you love what you're doing with the days and times of life. You adore the activity with which you cram them. For you, therefore, to receive large amounts of money for what you do would be, in your thought system, taking bad for the good. And that is unacceptable. You rather starve than take filthy lucre for pure service, as if somehow the service loses its purity if you take money for it. So here we have the real problem about money. Part of you rejects it, and part of you resents not having it. Now, the universe doesn't know what to do about that because the universe has received two different thoughts from you. So your life with regards to money is going to go in fits and starts because you keep going in fits and starts about money. You don't have a clear focus. You're not really sure what's true for you. And the universe is just a big Xerox machine. It simply produces multiple copies of your thoughts. Now, there's one way to change all of that. You have to change your thoughts about it. The usual method of creation for most humans beings is a three-step process involving thought, word, and deed, or action. First come thought, the formative idea, the initial concept. Then comes the word. Most thoughts ultimately form themselves into words, which are often then written or spoken. This gives added energy to the thought, pushing it out into the world where it can be noticed by others. Finally, in some cases, words are put into action and you have what you call a result, a physical world manifestation of what all started with a thought. Everything around you in your man-made world came into being this way, or some variations of it. All three creation centers are used. But now comes the question, how to change a sponsoring thought? Now, yes, this is a very good question and a very important one. For if humans do not change some of their sponsoring thoughts, mankind can doom itself to extinction. The most rapid way to change a root thought or a sponsoring idea is to reverse the thought, word, deed process. Now, I'll explain it. Do the deed you want to have the new thought about. Then say the words that you want to have your new thought about. Do this often enough, and you'll train the mind to think a new way. Now, I'll say that again for you. Do the deed that you want to have the new thought about. Then say the words that you want to have your new thought about. Do this often enough and you'll train the mind to think a new way. Train the mind. Isn't that like mind control? Isn't that just mental manipulations? Do you have any idea how your mind came up with the thoughts it has now? Do you not know that your world has manipulated your mind to think as you do? Wouldn't it be better for you to manipulate your mind than for the world to? Would you not be better off to think the thoughts you want to think than those of others? Are you not better armed with creative thoughts than the reactive thoughts? Yet your mind is filled with reactive thoughts, thoughts that spring from the experience of others. Very few of your thoughts spring from self-produced data, much less self-produced preferences. Your own root thoughts about money is a prime example. Your thoughts about money is it's bad, run directly counter to your experience, it's great to have money. So you have to turn around and lie to yourself about your experience in order to justify your root thoughts. You are so rooted in this thought, it never occurred to you that your idea about money may be inaccurate. So now we are up to coming up with some self-produced data, and that is how we change a root thought and cause it to be your root thought, not another's. You have one more root thought about money, by the way, which I have yet to mention. And your thought is that there is not enough. In fact, you have this root thought about just about everything. There's not enough money. There's not enough time. There's not enough love. There's not enough food, water, compassion in the world. Whatever there is that's good, there's just not enough. This race consciousness of non-enoughness creates and recreates the world as you see it. Or at least probably many more. Let's see. Money is bad. Money is sacred. Money may not be received for doing God's work. Money is never given freely. Money doesn't grow on trees, which in fact it does. Money corrupts.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we've got a lot of work to do. If you're not happy with your present money situation, on the other hand, it's important to understand that you're unhappy with your present money situation because you're unhappy with your present money situation. And you say, sometimes that's kind of hard to follow. I try to make it easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I truly want you to truly want. Nothing different, nothing more. Do you see that it is God's greatest gift to you? If God wants for you something other than what you want for you, then went so far as to cause you to have it, where is your free choice? How can you be a creative being if God is dictating what you shall be, do, and have? God's joy is in your freedom, not your compliance.
All right.
What you think you are. It's a vicious cycle when the thought is a negative one. You've got to find a way to break out of the circle. So much of your present experience is based on your previous thoughts. Thoughts leads to experience, which leads to thoughts, which leads to experience. This can produce constant joy when the sponsoring thought is joyous. It can and does produce continuous hell when the sponsoring thought is hellacious. The trick is to change sponsoring thoughts. I was about to illustrate how to do that. The first thing to do is reverse the thought, word, deed, paragraph. Do you remember the old adages, think before you act?
Yep.
Well, I say, forget it. If you want to change your root thought, you have to act before you think. Example, you're walking down the street and come across an old lady begging for a quarter. You realize she's a bag lady and is living day to day. You instantly know that as little money as you have, you surely have enough to share with her. Your first impulse is to give her some change. There's even part of you that's ready to reach in your pocket and for a little folding money, a one or even a five. What the heck? Make it a grand moment for her. Light her up. Then thought comes in. What, are you crazy? You've only got $7 to get us through the day. You want to give her a five? So you start fumbling around for that one. Thought again. Hey, come on. You don't have that many of these that you can just give them away. Give her some coins, for heaven's sake, and let's get out of here. Quickly, you reach into the other pocket to try to come up with some quarters. Your finger feels only nickels and dimes. You're embarrassed. Here you are, fully clothed, fully fed, and you're going to nickel and dime this poor woman who has nothing. You try in vain to find a quarter or two. Oh, there's one step, there's one deep in the fold of your pocket. But by now, you're walking past her, smiling wanly, and it's too late to go back. She gets nothing. you get nothing either. Instead of the joy of knowing your abundance and sharing, you now feel as poor as the woman. Why didn't you just give her the paper money? It was your first input. But you thought your thoughts got in the way. Next time, decide to act before you think. Give the money. Go ahead. You got it. And there's more where that came from. That's the only thought which separates you from the bag lady. You're clear there's more where that came from, and she doesn't know that. When you want to change your root thought, act in accordance with the new idea you have. But you must act quickly, or your mind will kill the idea before you know it. I mean that literally. The idea, the new truth, will be dead in you before you've had a chance to know it. So act quickly when the opportunity arises. And if you do this often enough, your mind will soon get the idea. It will be your new thought. If not, new thought is your only chance. It's your only real opportunity to evolve, to grow, to truly become who you really are. Your mind is right now filled with old thoughts. Not only old thoughts, but mostly someone else's old thoughts. It's important now. It's time now to change your mind about some things. This is what evolution is all about. And what I just said is so important for us to understand. What's in our mind, a lot of the stuff that's in our mind right now is stuff that we've allowed other people to put in there for us. And my co-producer, he listened in, but that's some of the thoughts about you got to be at church on Sunday morning. You got to give 10%. These are thoughts that people have put into your mind. That you can't wear white after Memorial Day. These are things that people have put into your mind and told you what you have to do. You are a creative individual. You are supposed to dance to your own drumbeat, per se. But we don't, because of fear of what it is that other people are going to think or say about you. And we have got to get past that point where we are so concerned what it is that other people are saying about us. Because when we allow what other people are saying about us, when we allow what other people are saying about us to affect our lives, then we're not living our lives. We're living their lives.
Their lives. That's right. That's right.
And we have to understand that each day we are trying to create the best me, the best you that you can.
Right.
Not the best somebody else. How can someone else tell you what is best for you?
Can't do it.
And they can't do it, and we've got to stop allowing them to do it, because,
That's right.
You know, we do. Taking it to another level, but an example.
Hello. Hello.
Not sure what happened there. Can you hear me, Nurse Carmen?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, I don't know what happened with the messenger. Give me 30 seconds. Hopefully he'll be back on.
Okay.
And I'm back. But it's important for us to understand that it is our lives. It is important for us it is important for us to understand that we create our lives. If I wake up in the morning and I'm doing everything that is pleasing to whoever,
mm-hmm.
is that really my life? Is that my life?
No, it isn't.
Or is that someone else's desire for my life? If God, who loved us so much, gave us the free will to do as we please. And now, you know, and as my co-producer and I have said on so many numerous occasions, that to do as you please, don't take that to mean that you could just, you know what I mean? You've got to do what it is that your soul is leading and guiding you to do and to be. I'm not saying that for anybody just to be willy-nilly and do, you know, go kill and hurt people. That's not the intention. But you are to live your life. And you can't live your life under what it is that other people want you to do. You have to do what is best for you. And we can mention many occasions where some people have told us some stuff and we just said, no, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to do it my own self.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking about, you know, like our parents have told us, don't talk to that girl, don't talk to that guy, because you fell
mm-hmm.
in love and you didn't want to hear anything that they had to say. And you bucked the system and you did what it is that you wanted to do. Now, sometimes the relationships that you did, they worked out, sometimes they didn't. But once again, we have to change the mindset into the fact that thinking that it was a bad, because it didn't work out, it was bad. It was an experience. It doesn't make it bad. But we've got to understand that we've got our mindset set on such negativity that anything that doesn't go exactly the way we thought it was going to go, we call it bad. But some of the things that went the way that they went, if you look over your life right now, it is helping you to be that better person today. So me learning something, me doing something the other day that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out the other day, but now today the effects of it not going that way is benefiting me. Do I still turn around and call it bad?
No.
When it actually benefited me.
Right.
But that's something which we're quick to do. We're quick to label it as bad.
Right.
And so this is what we've got to get away from. Because that is what it is that determines or that makes us not be able to live our lives like it should be. And each and every day we're here trying to spread the word to let people know that there is another way. And that other way we can have if we just change our mindset. So on that note, my co-producer is on, but I think he's just listening in tonight. I want to give him the opportunity if he feels as if he wants to say anything tonight. I don't see him switching over, so I guess that means he does it. But anyway, we do truly thank you. We thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, bro. So just remember that we've got to start looking at things from a different perspective and not from the perspective that the things in which we do are bad things. It's all part of our growth, our remembrance as to who it is that we really are. So I thank you all for coming out tonight. I thank you for taking the time to listen. But just know this, that it is something within you that is leading you to this podcast. Whether it's live or you're listening to the pre-recording, there is something within you that desires more. And it is the spirit that is leading you to a word to let you know that there is another.